Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win. FoxSportsRadio.com. Check out their new contest. January 24th, the deadline. Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Daryl Moose Johnson, 3 rings. He was 12-4 in 16 playoff games. First fullback ever invited to a Pro Bowl. Now everybody, all those Kyle Shanahans, they all want their fullbacks now. Fullbacks make money now. How about that? And Fox Sports NFL analyst, he was doing the Rams-Packers game this week. Daryl Moose Johnson, kind enough to join us live now. You know, it's interesting. I was saying yesterday, Green Bay had all these offensive pieces 2 years ago. And then, so the explosion of Aaron Rodgers has to be somewhat linked to Matt LaFleur and the offense and the new culture. And when I was watching that game against the Rams, Moose, 71% of the time, Green Bay was in motion. It was so multiple. And I looked at it and I thought, so this is what Aaron wanted. You know what I mean? Push, push, more. And I just, you talked to him before the game. He just feels so much more challenged and comfortable when I watch Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts?
I think he has more ownership in what the construction of that offense was going to be. And it was kind of cool this week for the first time. You kind of heard them say, we've taken the Shanahan McVay system and we've made it into our scheme. And that was what the process was after year one, through a very challenging offseason, be able to do that virtually. But they were able to get to a point where Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, Nathaniel Hackett, everybody's on, Coach Getsy, everybody's on board with what they're doing in this offense. Hey, let's get rid of the things that Matt liked that didn't work. Let's get rid of the things that Aaron liked that didn't work. Let's put our heads together on the things that all three of us really liked and try that. And this is what they've come up with. And I think the confidence he's playing with, because he has ownership and was a part of constructing this offense, is one of the big reasons he's playing as well as he is.
You know, Moose, last year I watched them get steamrolled twice by San Francisco. Physically couldn't answer the bell. I saw them get pushed around by the Chargers. You may remember that. They came out west and just got pushed around. Philadelphia, I believe it was last year, early in Lambeau, hit him right in the neck, pushed him right back. And so there was this feeling, at least I had it, is, boy, this team's a ways off. They gotta fix this stuff. And then you watch them this year, and you're like, oh, no, they got 5 offensive Pro Bowlers. And I'm looking around the NFL right now, and you did the game. I don't see a hole with the Packers. I could argue the Chiefs can't stop the run. The Bills don't run. Tampa special teams are across your fingers unit. You're watching the Packers. Do you see a weakness today with them? Because I can't see it.
I would go with special teams as well. They were 29th in Rick Gosselin's rankings that came out last week, so there's room for improvement. They talked about it hard in the off week. Let's get back to our fundamentals. Let's make sure we're assignment true. I thought they did a nice job with special teams. Now, the Rams were not a challenge. They were 30th in Rick's rankings, so they haven't gone up against that third phase that's elite like they're going to see, on Sunday. So, I think if there was any weakness, it would be that. But the areas that I've always, kind of wondered about them, their offensive line is outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Elton Jenkins and Aaron Donald going at it. You know, that was great to see. There's so much versatility in that front because of some of the injuries that have happened. It's the best offensive line I've seen in Green Bay in some time. And the stability that's come into the linebacker position. One of the small stories that probably won't get a lot of discussion this week is how effective can Chris Barnes be with that club on his left hand. He hurt his thumb in the game and had that cast put on. That'll make a big impact because, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, told us, his emergence really allowed us to take the green dot off of Christian Kirksey and give it to Chris Barnes. And now Christian's playing fast, doing the things that we expected him to do. And then they've got Kamal Martin who can go to either side. So there was a stability at the inside linebacker position that happened about the midpoint of the season that kind of coincides with them being able to shut down the run. So I think that's going to be one of the things that you'll have to keep an eye on this Sunday when they're going up against Ronald Jones and Fournette.
Yeah, and by the way, when Fournette, I thought, last couple of weeks, Darrell's played really well, very complimentary to a big back, to Ronald Jones' more explosive style. And I want to talk about Brady because Gronk didn't play well, Chris Godwin was off, Mike Evans was stopped, AB got hurt. So you can't tell me it's all the weapons that won that game. A lot of it was just the power of influence of Tom and decision-making. And there's a little bit of Aikman to Tom, where Tom will deliver uncomfortable news to teammates and sometimes with volume. And I can remember earlier this year, Tom's barking at guys in Chicago and the media's crushing him and they're like, hey, why don't you worry about yourself? You're 43. But as I was watching that game, I was sitting to myself thinking, Tom has just got a way to frame games as they're going on. And I think Troy definitely had that talent. That it was interesting to me that his weapons really, his tight end, was his leading receiver. It was not an ideal Sunday. It did not work out the way you'd want it in paper. And from what you saw of that game, what were your interpretations of Tom finally beating the Saints and the entire festival for 4 hours?
Yeah, that was the big thing. I'm not a big believer in the idea that it's hard to beat a team three times in one season. If you're the better team, it shouldn't be hard at all. Now, what happened with New Orleans and Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay was growing all season long. New Orleans came out of the gates hot, played really good football. After the Breeze injury, things kind of shifted a little bit, and they just weren't playing as good a football in the month of December as Tampa Bay was. So that was the big concern coming into this game. In my opinion, not because it's hard to beat a team three times in one season, because Tampa Bay was the better team, and you could see that all throughout the month of December. And a lot of that has to do with Tom Brady. He was much more comfortable in the system. He was understanding the subtleties and the nuances of all those playmakers that you just mentioned. And who would think that Evans on an off day, Godwin on an off day, Gronkowski not really a contributor, and yet it's Anthony Miller and Cameron Brate who are the guys. But that's Tom. Tom is going to go through his progression. He's going to get it to the guy who's supposed to be there. He doesn't force anything. And I think for everybody on Tampa Bay's team, when they come to the sideline, and whether it's the fiery, challenging perspective that you mentioned, and he's got to get after some guys on the sideline, or just that calm, confident demeanor, because he's been there, done that a number of times, and there's nothing to worry about. I think what he brings to the sideline of Tampa Bay is irreplaceable. So, I think that they're dangerous right now. And we had them late in the year, and we saw how well they played offensively compared to when we saw them earlier in the year. And we were all in our group were like, wow, this is going to be a dangerous team when we get to playoff time. And I can't wait for the game on Sunday. I think it's going to be outstanding, because you can talk about the weather and everything that goes on there, but the guy controlling the football on every snap, comes from an area where he's used to playing in the cold and the wind and the snow. So that's not going to be all that big a deal for Tom. And I'm sure he'll have all of his teammates in that same frame of mind.
You played in four conference championships, Darrell, and you were 3-1. And Tom's been there before, and Aaron's been there before, and Mahomes has been there before, and the Bills haven't. And I've talked to players about this. They're like, there's regular season games, and then you get to playoff games, and then the conference championship games. This is the world the league is watching, everything riding on it. And I look at Buffalo this weekend and I'm like, oh boy, this is a big step. This is a big step up. And I also think they're probably roster wise, maybe the least talented team. Do you, going back on your conference championships, did you ever get matched up against the team and you just felt like, we've been here before, they haven't been here before, and it didn't matter?
Unfortunately, no, because it was always us in San Francisco or us in Green Bay. So, everybody had been there. So we never felt like we had an advantage. I think that first time we played San Francisco, there were a lot of people in the football world that felt we were still a year away. It was still San Francisco's conference to rule. We were the youngest team in the NFL at that time. And maybe that was a good thing. We didn't know what we were walking into. I mean, that was an incredibly talented roster. And I tell people all the time, that was the best game I think that group played as a team in all three phases. We were +4 turnover margin, and we were still hanging on at the end of that game to win. So once we had that one under our belts, then there was a tremendous amount of confidence. Even when we went out to San Francisco and fell behind 21-0, in that championship game. You know, we felt we could get back into it, and we could just never get inside double digits. We couldn't go from 13 to 7. We couldn't get inside of 10. If we ever would have gotten that lead down to single digits, I think that not only would we have had the confidence that we could have finished that, there would have been some doubt in San Francisco. You know, our third championship or our last championship game against Green Bay, you know, we were down 14, you know, late third, early fourth quarter. So again, that confidence in our abilities to come back, and even with Brett Favre leading that team, you know, you've got that, been there, done that. So we've had both experiences, and it's going to be interesting, in my opinion, to see how Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills do. Because, like you pointed out, maybe not as talented across the board as the other three, a young quarterback that's trying to prove himself to all the other quarterbacks in the NFL on that big stage. I'm really excited to see Josh Allen play. I know Sean McDermott's going to have him ready. He's an outstanding coach defensively. You know, Kansas City better be ready to play. That's going to be a physical game on that side of the ball, and that to me is going to tip it. You know, I think that that the Bills will be able to score some points, but it's how does Buffalo's defense slow Patrick Mahomes down, and how well is Patrick Mahomes going to be able to play?
Yeah. Moose, great talking to you as always, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Colin. Take care.
Yeah, it's I honestly feel like Green Bay right now is playing the best. Buffalo is the hottest but the least talented team left. And then Kansas City has the highest ceiling, but unlike Green Bay, they're not doing it as consistently. And Tampa Bay's got a puncher's chance, but I feel like they're a little, they've met their ceiling. But I, of all the teams, they've all got kind of an issue. Boy, Green Bay is just rolling. And it's interesting with Green Bay. I said this last week. There's always this perception it's Aaron Rodgers sort of pulling the franchise. Their offensive line is stacked. Pro Bowl receiver, Pro Bowl running back, three Pro Bowl offensive linemen, a tight end that should be a Pro Bowler, 11 touchdowns, Pro Bowler Kenny Clark, Adrian Amos safety, two good linebackers. Green Bay is a stacked roster, an absolutely more talented roster than the Rams this past weekend. I think it's more talented than Tampa's, but I think the margins shrink a little bit. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it's no secret Deshaun Watson is unhappy with the Texans organization right now. He's not officially asked for a trade yet, but teams have reportedly been calling the Texans to ask about him anyway.
Oh, okay, so they have. All right.
Yes, despite the fact that the new GM, Nick Caserio, is saying Deshaun is their quarterback. According to Fox Bet, if he is traded, the Jets are the favorite to get him. The Texans are still the favorite to have him on their week one roster next season. These are just the odds if he is moved.
Yeah, you know, throw those up again. I actually agree with all these.
Jets have the best odds. Then the Bears, Broncos,
yes.
Colts, and Patriots are tied at plus 800.
See, you know, John Elway can say what he wants. Drew Lock has had, like, we got how many starts for Drew Lock? He's completing 55% of his throws.
I think most this people guy, are going to take Deshaun Watson over Drew Lock if they can make that happen.
This guy's completing almost 70% of his throws, and I get all the athleticism. I get all the upside, and he's accurate.
I love Deshaun Watson. I wish that the Texans were able to put pieces around him to allow him to be successful there. But and I wish they had completely botched this transition situation as well. Because as Jay said earlier, and as we've been saying all week, don't make promises you can't keep.
Yeah,
you had no need to tell Deshaun Watson that he was going to be involved. You did, and then you didn't involve him. And now everything you're doing is just seeming like you're making it up. It doesn't feel authentic.
Yeah, that's what Ann and I argue about the most.
What?
I'll say something over a cocktail. I get a little loose. And then she'll say, well, you said last night, you... And I said, that wasn't a promise. That was just gin talking. You know, you get what happens is you have a margarita,
mm-hmm.
and you get a little loose.
Yeah.
And Anne will interpret that as, well, you said last night we were going to do
this. Yeah, I
do
that, except for it's for making plans.
So you make a
trip. Don't trust me if I make plans if I've had a cocktail. I don't mean it. I'm not coming. I do that all the time.
So you say, oh, I'll see you next month.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, it's totally this weekend. We'll get together. We'll do this.
And you don't.
I'm lying to you. Yeah. It's not true. I'm not going. The NFL has informed teams that the format for the combine is changing this year. There will be no in-person workouts.
Wow.
Instead, they will take place at the college's pro days. The league said it would work with schools to have consistency in the drills and the testing that takes place, with each organization having access to the videos of the workouts. All interviews and psychological testing will be virtual, and there will be limited in-person medical exams later in the spring. Schools will also be asked to conduct virtual media availabilities with combine invitees to help promote the players.
NFL Network just lost a week of their programming, because that's like a big deal for them.
This is a very big deal. This is especially a big deal for any players that opted out. Because if you weren't a player that was automatically or presumed to be drafted high and then opted out, you're trying to make you would have needed to make a splash this year if you're one of those lower level players. And a lot of players pop at the combine or have great 40s or great performances, and it puts them kind of on the radar.
Yeah.
Or raises their draft stock. This is going to be a little difficult. They're going to rely a lot on tape from games this year, I imagine. I mean, the combine doesn't play, I don't think it plays as big of a role for most players as people think it does. Like, I think the tape kind of matters more. The combine matters, and I think the interviews matter, but it's all just like a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it just hurts lower level players and players who opted out more.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think it's the Senior Bowl is the same thing. It's not everything, but it's a good 15%. If you have a great Senior Bowl, Justin Herbert was the best player at the Senior Bowl, and everybody.
No, it definitely matters. There's a reason why they go.
I know somebody that saw him at the Senior Bowl and went, okay, this is going to work in the NFL.
Well, you're around all the best players.
And you're dominating them.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, he's going to work.
You're not playing for, you know, a championship, but you're playing amongst the best players in college football. I do think this will help with the interviews, though, because now, since everything is virtual, it'll help kids to be a little more comfortable. Like, sometimes when you're, especially, like, you're younger, you're in your first, like, really big interview.
Oh, of course.
You get, you know, you're nervous, obviously, and which is completely understandable. You're talking to head coaches and coordinators, and, you know, it's a lot. So I think that part actually will be easier for these guys. So the Warriors rallied from a 14-point fourth-quarter deficit to beat the Lakers 115-113 last night. Good NBA last night. Steph Curry had a game-high 26 points with 8 coming in that last quarter. LeBron did have a chance to get the win for LA in the final seconds, but
look at that.
He missed the three-pointer. Steph has been playing incredible. They have their 7th win of the season.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Still just
doing
Steph...
his thing. Kelly Oubre Jr. has been great for them as well. 23 points last night.
Wiseman's actually going to be a really good player. He's bizarrely long. Wiseman just needs time. He was the most talented player in the draft. We just didn't know how long before he was good.
And this is a perfect landing spot for
him.
So the Lakers have dropped to 11-4. They're still a half game ahead of the Clippers for first in the West. And the Warriors are 7-6. Seventh in the West. Steph is starting to get a little drumbeat for MVP.
Yeah.
If they're consistent throughout the year with this, I could see that happening. But he's playing great. You know, it makes you all the more sad that Clay is not out there, because Steph is looking incredible.
I know. Wiseman's a good draft pick, though.
Yeah.
It's going to work. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
To quarterback or not to quarterback? That, of course, is the question. We look at the draft board. Who do I think will take a quarterback today? A lot of discussions about the Jets going out and getting Watson. Houston then getting their number 2 pick. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Supplement I take every morning, powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com today. It's good to have you in. So it's very interesting. You got all sorts of teams. We're looking at quarterbacks. And in best for last, we're going to play a game today, Joy. It's called To Quarterback or Not to Quarterback.
To QB or not QB? That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind of Cowherd.
All right, Jaguars, to QB or not to QB?
To quarterback. Okay, you got Urban Meyer. He's dealt with Alex Smith. He worked with Cam Newton at Florida. He's dealt with Joe Burrow at Ohio State. He's very good. Alex Smith, Tebow. He knows the young quarterback game. He's been great with it. This is a perfect fit for him. Urban Meyer, more than anything, is known as taking quarterbacks, developing them to the next level. It's a great fit.
All right, Jets, to QB or not to QB?
I would QB. Robert Saleh's the new coach. The reality here is you want a fresh start. I think Sam Darnold needs a fresh start. I think Joe Douglas wants his own guy. Now, it may be a Deshaun Watson over a Justin Fields move, and we know Saleh and Deshaun Watson are fans of each other. But my guess is if I ran the Jets right now, this is no shot, but I've given Sam a couple of coaches, probably not going to give him a third. And I, according to reports, you can get a second-round pick for Sam Darnold. I'd probably move on.
The Dolphins, to QB or not to QB?
Well, I would use the pick, and I would get a quarterback. And my reasoning is you've also got the 18th pick. So you can keep rebuilding that offensive line. I don't see the juice with Tua. If he throws off platform, he doesn't have the arm strength. I know he's got a winning record, and I know their GM and their coach like him, and I get it. There are things to like. But when I look in that division and I look at a potential Deshaun Watson's with the Jets and Josh Allen's with the Bills, I don't think you can have a quarterback deficit minimum four times a year in your division. He would be at best the third best quarterback in the division. I'd go get a quarterback with that third pick.
Falcons, to QB, not to QB.
Actually, not to QB. Matt Ryan's 35. I just watched 43-year-old Tom Brady chop it up. He's got two huge years left in his contract. And also, I don't know if Arthur Smith is going to work as a head coach. I don't know. But I do think it's fair to finally give Matt Ryan an offensive head coach. He's had several defensive head coaches. Let's give him an offensive guy. You can't get rid of his contract for 2 years anyway. And by the way, he's not a disaster. Matt wins games. Their offense is not the problem. They had the worst pass defense in the league. They're scoring points. That's not their issue. Their issue is the other side of the ball.
Bengals to QB, not to QB.
That's an easy one, not to QB. I thought their question is Zach Taylor the right coach? Could be, could not be. Joe Burrow's the right quarterback. I thought he was way better than expected. I projected he'd be a Tony Romo. I think he's a better version of Tony Romo, and I defended Romo for years. No quarterback.
Eagles.
Not the quarterback. You got two of them. One of them's got to work. You already, you know, by drafting Jalen Hurts, you already made Carson Wentz insecure. So you got rid of the coach. We don't need to go down the quarterback. Jalen Hurts has shown he can win games. Carson Wentz has shown he can win games. Go get a coach like Josh McDaniels and figure it out. Don't add another guy to the room. You got talent. Figure out which one you want to keep.
The Detroit Lions to QB or not to QB.
So I went back and forth on this, and I'm going to say, first of all, how old is Matt Stafford? Guess. Because I was shocked.
33?
Good guess. He's 32. I thought he was like 34. He's 32. He's really talented. Their issues are they're terrible defensively. I think I'd stick with Stafford. I think I'd give him another run with another coaching staff. I could make an argument today. He's your first or second most talented player. You're not in the business of trading if you're the Detroit Lions, getting rid of your most talented players. I would not quarterback. I'd stay with Stafford.
How about the Panthers?
See, this is an easy one. This is an easy one. Quarterback. Why? Teddy Bridgewater is the classic Alex Smith. You can win a bunch of games as you rebuild. But go get a Zach Wilson. Go get somebody that's not quite ready. Keep rebuilding. Again, I thought Carolina losing McCaffrey was still a tough out. Bridgewater is the classic quarterback you want when you draft a quarterback and don't want to play him for 2 years. Don't get a bunch of ego. He plays quarterback the smart way. He makes the quarterback room smarter. So whoever you bring into that room, it's a master's class on how to quarterback in the NFL. So to me, Carolina is, and by the way, as you recall, last year they all went defense on the draft. So let's go address the quarterback. We're in no hurry to make it work. But what we are in a hurry is that kid to get in a room with Bridgewater, soak up the information. That's what Mahomes did with Alex Smith for a year. We play in a year or two, you're ready to go.
The Broncos to QB or not to QB?
To QB. I don't buy the Drew Lock thing. He's not my cup of joe, a little too hip for the room. By the way, worst completion percentage among all qualified quarterbacks. This is my knock. He's too casual for me. I don't know if you can coach out of that. It's very Jay Cutler. It's just kind of like, hey, when you watch the great quarterbacks, you can sense the urgency. You can feel it with Brady.
They're always just a little irritated.
With even like an incomplete, but Drew is like, hey, it's not the NBA, dude. 50% doesn't work on shots. He was a very good basketball player. He's too casual for me. I'm moving on and getting a quarterback.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Not to quarterback. Listen, you're not going to. My issue with Dak is the money. It's not Dak can win games. I just worried that paying him $37 million, you've really closed the door on your championships. But, you know, roll with Dak. They're not moving off him. I like Dak. I don't like his contract, but I like him. He is productive.
The New York Giants.
Not to quarterback. One more year of Daniel Jones. He's got a fumble issue. I did think he had a sense of urgency as the year progressed. He had a game this year where he really lost it for him with fumbles, and I think there was kind of a moment, an epiphany for Daniel Jones. He's only 23. He only had one pick in his last six games. Barkley missed the entire year. He didn't have a ton to work with offensively in terms of skill people. Evan Ingram's good, but not as reliable. I think you have to draft a wide receiver, give him one more year in the system, and if it doesn't work with Jason Garrett, then you move on. But he is 23. You can't lose a superstar running back and not take a step back.
The 49ers.
Really hard. I've gone back and forth. I'd probably say no. Listen, they're 7-26 when Garoppolo doesn't play. And they've got a Super Bowl roster. So what I think you do is, if you can engineer a deal, you play Garoppolo and you just keep your eye. You know, this sounds crazy, but do you engineer a deal for Darnold at some point, maybe at the trading deadline? Let's say you go through the course of a season, you have Garoppolo, he's playing and you're winning. Because if he plays, they win. And at the trading deadline, you know, you call up a team and you make a deal. But I always go back to this. As great as Kyle Shanahan is, they're 7-26 when he doesn't play. So you could quarterback here, but you don't have a good enough draft pick to get a top three or four quarterback.
Yeah, so why?
So I'm not sure. Unless you want to swap Stafford for him, I just don't think there's anything on the market available that wins like Garoppolo wins. And Jimmy G knows the system. He know you're going to start week one. He knows what he's doing.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
No, let's get over it. Justin Herbert's great.
The Vikings.
No, simply because 2 years left on the contract, the cap hits over $30 million.
Oof.
They're screwed. Like, there's nothing they can do. So, first of all, they have massive needs defensively. They have the number 14 pick, so what are you getting? Cousins is clearly, he's Derek Carr. You win a lot of games with Kirk Cousins. If you go look at their issues this year, they couldn't stop people. They were losing close games early. Kirk's not the issue. But you can't quarterback at this point because you're stuck with him. Mike Zimmer's a defensive coach. You've got to be able to, if you start looking at their defense, they had the fewest sacks in the NFL. They had 23. You have got to get a pass rusher. This draft has about three of them early. Get a pass rusher. Live with Kirk Cousins. You're not a championship team, but you're in a bad space with him.
The Patriots.
To quarterback. That's it. They need. And what's interesting, Zach Wilson, I'd even think about moving up a little bit. They're just not dynamic enough. So they have to engineer either a trade. They've got to find, like, I'll tell you the team that Trey Lance is the kid from Dakota. All I've seen him is on YouTube. I don't watch their games. He didn't play this year. When you watch him play, you're like, oh, that's New England. That's exactly what they need. A kid that can move, get out.
They need a lot, though.
Everybody keeps saying Mac Jones, Alabama. That's not what they need. They don't need a distributor.
Hearing Mac Jones, too.
It's like, that's not what they need. They need a playmaker, and they brought Cam in for a year, so they experimented with that offense. To me, Trey Lance, that's exactly what they need, and they need a quarterback. To quarterback or not to quarterback, most life-changing sleep is available. It is called Casper Mattress, 86 supportive gel pods, only on Casper Mattresses. Go to Casper.com. All right, there we go. That was quite a show. I'm not sure. Was it because we both slept well last night? We were in a mood today?
I believe so.
There's also that thing. We'll talk about it later. There's just stuff. Sometimes you get up, you're feisty. You're spicy, right?
It is. When you get a good night's sleep, you feel like, you know.
Take the world on.
Yeah. Like, I can handle it today.
Yeah. You ever have one of those days, Goulet, when you're spicy, when you really feel it, when you really want to punch the sky? You ever have one of those?
I work for you, so yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not always the easiest guy to work with. That's okay. All right. So I think the lead story in America today is the Deshaun Watson stuff. Reportedly, Joy said it earlier, teams are calling the Texans. So if they're doing it, and I think this is one of those rare deals, it gets done fast.
Well, I mean, you want to start making plans for the draft, so
and
you gotta know.
What if the Dolphins and the Patriots and Jets, all same division, are interested? You want to make that deal now, they heard.